When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Zach Clinton, and today we pick back up with part two of an insightful conversation I had recently with Ryan Dobson. To listen to the full interview, you can go to our show page on oneplace.com. Again, that's oneplace.com. Now let's jump back in with Ryan as he begins to tell us about recent updates with his family and his wife's cancer journey. Ryan is a speaker, author, and podcast host known for his work in Christian ministry and family advocacy. A graduate of Biola University, he's the son of Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family. Ryan co-founded Rebel Parenting, an organization dedicated to strengthening marriages and families through biblical principles. He's written books on faith, parenting, and culture, emphasizing resilience and Christian values in modern society. A dynamic communicator, he speaks at conferences and churches nationwide. I want to kind of segue this now into as we talk about hardship, as we talk about challenge, right, as we talk about connection, just take us within this past year. And just, I know you guys have been on a journey. I can't even imagine just the mental, the emotional, obviously the physical, but also the spiritual toll that it's probably taken on you personally, as well as Laura and your family altogether. Take us back to those moments and just help our audience understand what's taken place.
Yeah. Okay. So this was Laura's fourth round of cancer. She got breast cancer this time. By the way, we did all the genetic testing. She's the first person ever in her side of genetics that has gotten breast cancer. There's no markers, you know, all that. I distinctly remember being in Dr. Colton's office, our oncologist, but I can remember the moment she said, your wife has cancer. The instant. And the reason I remember it, the first thing that popped into my head, and I almost blurted it out, it was a sense of total body relief. And my thought was, oh, I'm so glad I'm going through this with you and not anybody else, meaning Laura. I can remember early on in that and being like, we're going to fight this and we're going to beat it and God is bigger than cancer. I was so cocky. And I mean, I went on social media and talked about how we were going to survive and we were going to do all these things. Mm. Dude, I got my teeth kicked in. I got my teeth kicked in by cancer. She had cancer in her lower lip, and so they gave her a type of chemo. It's a medication that you place it on every night, and then you have to put a bandage on your upper lip, because what you're doing is you're putting essentially an acid on your lower lip that only eats cancer. Wow. And so every night she'd put acid on her lip, and it would eat the skin away. She'd wake up with a bloody lip. She couldn't talk straight. She couldn't eat straight. She couldn't smile without pain. She was in pain if she moved her mouth in any way, shape, or form for a year and a half. We did that. For a year and a half, she put that on every night. And it didn't work. So after a year and a half, she had surgery, and it was, I can't even tell you what a horror story it was. I'm okay with pain. I'm a weirdo. I have a weird pain threshold. I'm fine with that kind of stuff. Suffering long term, I'm not a saint, but it's like my thing. Like, I love hard saunas. I do over 180 degrees. I bake myself. I like that. When we got diagnosed with cancer this time around, there's no naivety. I know, oh my goodness, this is gonna be, you know what I mean? Like, no, I have an 18-year-old and an almost 13, no. It was 17-year-old and a 12-year-old when it started. 17-year-old and 12-year-old when it started. I was like, no, except I knew it wouldn't break us. I know what we've been through as a couple. I know the investment we've put into our marriage. And my relief at going through this with Laura is, it's because I thought I knew how bad it was going to be, right? Like, I was telling myself, this is going to be terrible. It's going to take such a massive toll on our family. But with you, we can do this. We won't break. We'll be there for the kids. We'll be there for each other, whatever it is. And I mean, cancer's ugly. Like, it's ugly. You lash out. It's just when you get that tired, you get, empathy fatigue.
Yes.
I'd never even heard of that before. So Laura got breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy, and then she got a staph-resistant infection. And so all in all, she had five surgeries, seven procedures. I think seven ER trips. We spent the New Year's Eve in the ER list last time. And well over 100 doctor's appointments.
Wow.
You can be afraid that your wife might die. Your children can hear the big C again. And their brains at that stage don't quite know how to handle it. You can have all of that dropped into your lap, placed upon you, forced on you. But if you have a good marriage, you can get through it.
What I love about something that you've mentioned now a couple of times, Ryan, it's the pronouns that you're using here in your language. I didn't hear you say when she was diagnosed with cancer or when she had to go through this. You keep using the word we. And I love this idea that there's a spirit that you guys are unified. You and Laura are going through this together. You said when we got diagnosed this time, when we were going through this, right? It's this sense of connectivity and togetherness that I believe helps us weather any storm that may come our way. But I want to ask you as a man, as a husband, as a father who's had to navigate, obviously the difficulty and the challenge of watching your wife endure, I mean, such hardship, such pain, and the grieving process on top of it all, balancing all of these things. I'm just thinking about, you know, as I work with people and sit in the counseling office, in the counseling chair on a daily basis, I see people come in with catastrophic just tragedy and trauma. And I think of the words that Catherine Wolf once shared with me years ago. She said, Zach, you know, when I went through what I went through and I was sitting in a hospital bed, I had people come in day after day just telling me that they were sorry for me, telling me the truth of God's word and reciting verses over me in scripture. And she said, but I'll just be honest with you, Zach, that wasn't what I needed in that moment. She said this, and this is where I want to get to with you, Ryan. She said, what I needed is the recognition that the ministry of tears needs to come before the ministry of truth. Ryan, for you, my friend, how have you been able to walk alongside of and support your wife and your kids and your family, but also yourself throughout this process?
That is really one of the hardest roads to navigate. You know, I'm sure there's lots of other hard roads to navigate too, but having someone stick a needle in your wife to try to find a pocket of tumor to pull something out with no pain, dead need of any kind. I had to learn how to be the thermostat in the room instead of the thermometer. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been married for almost 20 years now. So there was, I can remember this time in the hospital, I could tell Laura was like on the breaking point. It was just too much. It had been too painful. And a doctor came in that was kind of matter of fact. And I was like, this is going to go poorly. And I stepped in and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry, but we can't do it this way. Mm. Like, you can't give me the matter of fact or the, yep, that's a normal symptom. I get that's a normal. Yes, those are, that's a normal symptom. That's what the medication does. Yeah, we're really sorry about that. Like, no, you're not. And you've not taken this medication. And you don't know what we're going through. And you don't know what it's like in our home. And you don't know what it's like for our kids to see their mom in this space. And so there were lots of times where I really wanted to punch someone. Like, I was looking for an excuse. And you'll grow deeper if you can learn to be that thermostat. And so with my children, it's a really fine line to walk, especially because of our culture. Our culture is blab culture. Our culture is tell everything to everybody all the time. And I think parents unknowingly at times use their children as therapists, like they dump their day on them or this thing or their ex or whatever it is. And while our children are being exposed to far more than we ever were at those ages, and while they know more, they're still children. Mm-hmm. My son is very, very emotionally intuitive. He's really, really emotionally intuitive. And so he'll ask, when he says, how are you doing? It's not a throwaway statement. He really means it. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility isn't to take care of my emotional well-being. But he is empathetic enough to be concerned. And so I have to talk to him at an age-appropriate way. With my daughter, you know, she's 13 now, she was 12 when it started. I talk to them at an age-appropriate way, but I'm really honest. You know, I'll say, I'm really, really sad. I'm really sad mommy's going through this. It's so hard to watch her suffer. It's so hard to watch a doctor stick a needle in her, you know. Actually, I didn't say that one because that's too graphic. And when to visit the hospital, when not to visit the hospital, when she had a room with another person in it, that the kids didn't come because the other families, you don't know what they're going to do or say or behave or, and that's scary.
Yeah. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Zach Clinton, and my guest is none other than Ryan Dobson. Yes, that Dobson. He's the son of Dr. James Dobson, and we're talking all things faith and family, as well as a life he's lived in service to bring people closer to Jesus, just as his parents brought him closer to the Lord. You know, I love this idea of this gratitude list and just reverting back to the truth of his word. I remember a quote once that said that faith and fear have one thing in common. They both believe in a future that has not yet happened. While fear believes in a negative one, faith believes in a positive one. But the reality is, like you said, you know, Ryan, that there are going to be moments in life where our faith is on trial, that are difficult to rely back on, you know, what we know to be true, especially when there's an uncertainty in our future. But I remember in a difficult season in my life where God really placed on my heart, Zach, in the absence of clarity, there's an invitation to intimacy with me, right? When you don't have all the answers, maybe, just maybe, I'm the answer that you're looking for. I've also heard it said that when the wind starts blowing and the rain starts beating on the door, that's where our foundation is truly revealed. And I believe, you know, I think one of the biggest myths, though, in church that we hear all the time, Ryan, is like, well, God won't give you more than you can handle, Ryan, right? And I believe that's the furthest thing from the truth because—
I believe the opposite, Zach.
Exactly.
God always
gives us more than we can handle.
Yes!
Always, because that's where— that's where true reliance and dependence can really be found. My dad put it this way, and I want to frame it into a question for you. My dad would always say, Zach, it's in our moments of powerlessness that God will draw you closer toward and reveal the character of his heart. And so, Ryan, for you, in the midst of this season of maybe asking those why questions and God, where are you questions, and God, what are you doing in and through this situation, in and through this cancer diagnosis again and again and again, Ryan, what has God revealed to you about the character of who he is?
Oh, you know what? It's the trustworthiness. And that is the key to every relationship is trust. Can I trust you or not, right? Like, there are people in my life that wound me every now and then. I can't trust them all the time, and so I have a different relationship with them. But the Lord is always trustworthy. I can trust all of God's promises. But that's, I mean, this is where the practice of faith really, really gets important. I'm not a great Bible reader. I'm just not great at it. What I do, though, is I read a psalm every day. I just finished the 150th psalm yesterday. Wow. So I'm starting over today with Psalm 1. And I got to tell you, if you read the arc of Psalms, especially after reading Genesis and Exodus, if you read Genesis and Exodus and then you read the Psalms, remember when Israel was in dire straits and everything was terrible and chaos and it was all going wrong and it was hopeless and nothing was going to happen? Oh, the Lord was there. Oh man, I think it was 146. There's just over and over again, it repeats, his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, it is such a great, great reminder, because this is the good thing. I'm a sinner, man. I'm a sinner. I did some crazy stuff in my past. I've done some bad things. I've been a bad dad. I've been a bad husband. I've been mean to my wife in the past. I'm a sinner. And to know that his steadfast love endures forever, that he loves me, he can't love me more or less, right? It doesn't go up or down. Knowing that I can count, that's the thing. It tells about all the things Israel did, all the ways they broke the covenant with God, all the ways they sinned. You are a stiff-necked people, a stubborn people. They leave Egypt. They go through the Red Sea, which is a miracle beyond imagination.
Yes.
And then how much longer was it before we built the golden calf? Because Moses was up on the mountain. By the way, let's just go with, we know God is at the top of the mountain because it's so scary. There's a giant cloud that we can see with lightning that's terrifying. But Moses has been up there, what, 3 or 4 days? I mean, this wasn't months and months, and we build the golden calf. The greatest thing is his steadfast love endures forever. Meaning, if I make a covenant with you, God says, I make a covenant with you, my covenant with you never ends. Man breaks his promises all the time. God never breaks his promise. He never breaks his promise.
One of my favorite, I was going to tell you, promises as you bring that up is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And it's that reminder, Ryan, that in the midst of hardship, in the midst of crisis, in the midst of challenge, not only will God equip you with friends for the fire, but there's always that fourth man in the fire as well, which then leads us to this reality and what you're sharing, that he is a good God and his steadfast love endures forever, that we can trust him and his faithfulness because he has a perfect track record. So even when we don't know what to do, we can always know where to turn. Ryan,
perfect,
my friend,
track record.
Perfect track record. As we kind of reflect back on this conversation, as we wrap things up, I just want to ask you, my friend, what is on the horizon for you? What is your prayer in the midst of all of this for you, for Laura, for your family? And also, I want to ask this, how can we as an audience be praying alongside of you all throughout the season?
Oh, yeah. I will tell you that. I'll tell you first, though, because you said that verse, and I love that verse so much, because when I was in the middle of my divorce, and I know that's a Christian taboo topic, but when I was in the middle of it, I mean, I was being drugged through the dirt. I mean, I was being drugged. My mom wrote that scripture on a blue 3x5 card. I had that for years and years until I met someone going through a horrible crisis, and I handed it to that person. That is such a special verse. On the horizon, what do I want for my family? Togetherness in Jesus.
Come on.
Togetherness in Jesus. I love working with my wife. I like Rebel Parenting. We're going to air our first episode. We haven't aired one in a little over a year, I think. It may have been a little more. I think we stopped at her third bout of cancer. And then when the fourth one came, we continued not doing it, but we're getting ready to do it again. I have another business called Dobson Philanthropic. We help nonprofits fundraise without begging and scaring and doing all the gross things that you see nonprofits do.
Ryan, you know, you mentioned that Dobson Philanthropic, this ministry, what you guys are doing there, it sounds so exciting. I know a lot of our audience might be interested in that. Where can they go to find out more about Dobson Philanthropic?
Yep, absolutely, DobsonPhilanthropic.com. You know, nonprofit fundraising and giving has totally changed. The studies are showing right now, 70% of first-time givers don't ever give again to that nonprofit or that ministry. Wow. 70% don't. And in America, in the U.S., nonprofits currently are losing over 50% of their reoccurring donors, their regular donors.
Wow.
In response, people ask, right? They're being told, well, ask more. And it's like, no. I watched my dad do this my entire life at Focus on the Family. I'm writing a book. I'm interviewing him to write it, called How to Raise $1 Billion Without Asking. And this is what I'll tell you. At Focus on the Family, they raised over $3 billion while my dad was there. And I can tell you without any hesitation, my dad nor any Focus on the Family rep has ever asked an individual for money one time.
Wow.
Focus on the Family, when my dad left in 2011, their annual budget was $163 million a year. No rep ever asked one person for $1, let alone $1 million. And we teach people to do that one. That one, I love it because nonprofits are struggling and we can really help them turn it around. I love doing that.
Well, I was going to say, and then off that topic of fundraising, you said that you guys are releasing a podcast called Fundraising is Dead. Is that correct?
Yep. My partner Troy and I, Fundraising is Dead at fundraisingisdead.com.
And then that's a perfect segue into, you mentioned that the Rebel Parenting Podcast is coming back. Ryan, where can our audience go to find out more about that and to hear some new, fresh conversations coming out there?
Yeah, it's rebelparenting.com. Yeah, rebelparenting.com. If you look up Rebel Parenting on iTunes or anywhere else, that's where the podcast is. What kind of a toll did it take on our family? How do you get out of survival mode back into a regular relationship again? You know, so those are coming out real soon. Thank you for promoting that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I push all of our audience, again, go check out Dobson Philanthropic as well as the Fundraising is Dead podcast. And again, some fresh conversations coming out on the Rebel Parenting Podcast. You know, I'm just reminded that not only do we serve a good father who loves you with a reckless abandonment, but also you have a mom and a dad who love you. You have an incredible wife, Laura, who loves you. You have Lincoln and Lucy who love you with every fiber of their being. You have friends that love you. Man, let me tell you this. The Clintons love you. I love you, brother. All of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we're in your corner, my friend. We love you. We're praying for you. We support you every step of the way. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, the Dobsons love the Clintons too.
Let's go. Hey, thank you so much for your time.
Anytime.
And your availability of joining us today.
Anytime. You name it, I'll do it for you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Ryan.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, A Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center, A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.